Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I just want to wish you a very happy Labor Day. If you're going to be traveling, I am praying that you'll travel safe and that you'll have a good time. I would also say that, we will be at the preaching at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook, and if you'd like to come to service, we have Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship is 11 o'clock. And I will be preaching about Josiah, the fifth revival king in the Old Testament. Today I want to talk about the woman at the well. And, she's quite interesting. We pull our lesson from John chapter 4, verses 6 through 29. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It said, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But, sir, you don't have a rope, a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again. I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man that you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place to worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it'll no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Just then his disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" Here was a woman that everyone prejudged when they saw her. Everybody thought that she wasn't somebody who would be open to the things of God, open to any kind of plan of salvation. Besides, she just wasn't the type. She wouldn't be welcome to worship in the synagogue, the kind of lady she was. The Samaritans and Jews hated each other. Samaritans were half-caste people, half-Gentile, half-Jew. After the captivity, many stayed in Assyria and intermarried with the Assyrians. The Jews and the Samaritans had huge arguments over religion centuries earlier. The Samaritans built a temple on Mount Gerizim for worship in Samaria. They believed God was everywhere, so they could worship God in Samaria without going to Jerusalem. The Jewish people, particularly the leaders, believed true worship could only happen at the temple in Jerusalem, and only people with pure Jewish blood could worship there. The temple in Samaria was forcibly destroyed by the Jews. Now Samaritans were considered a lower class than the Jews because of their religious belief and because they were half-breeds. It was poor taste for Jesus to talk to this woman, and it could cause him to be ridiculed. Another custom involved relations between men and women. A Jewish man wasn't to talk to strange women on the streets. It was just not done. It was not proper. If a man talked to a woman he didn't know, it was assumed that she was a prostitute, or the man was trying to start a relationship with a woman even though she may be married. Either way, the relationship was judged as being wrong, so a Jewish man did not talk to women on the streets. Now here is Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. Two social rules had already been broken. Also, he was a rabbi, and rabbis didn't talk to women at all. They taught male students. Furthermore, this woman was known to be a sinner. She came to the well to get water at midday during the hottest time of the day. No one came to the well in the middle of the day. It was too hot, and that's why she came now, because they came to avoid other women in town because of her reputation that was so poor. Either she was a prostitute or she was had a horrible time staying married. The decent, respectful women in town had no use for a prostitute. She'd been married 5 times. She was ostracized due to her failed marriages and her lifestyle. Now she was living with a man she wasn't married to. She wasn't very popular in this community. As this woman approached the well, Jesus broke every rule of his society by speaking to her. He asked her to get him a drink of water. During the conversation, Jesus offered her eternal life. She didn't realize what he was offering. He was offering her salvation, for God to forgive her sins and to change her life and make her what God wanted her to be. He offered her living water. He said if she received this living water, she'd never thirst again. Jesus was offering her the opportunity to be forgiven of her sins and to be received in the kingdom of God. But she didn't understand. She thought in terms of water that would take away her physical thirst. And what he was talking about was water that would satisfy her spiritual thirst. She thought he was talking about regular water, and she couldn't understand how he was going to draw the water because he had no rope or bucket. And he had her attention. He asked her about her personal life, and he asked her about her husband, and she admitted she had no husband. And Jesus said that was true. And he confronted her about 5 past husbands and told her she was currently living with a man that she wasn't married to. He told her all about her past, but he didn't condemn her. He didn't agree with her lifestyle, but he didn't condemn her either. That is wonderful news. God does not want to condemn you or me. He wants to forgive our sins and save us so that we can go to heaven to be with him. In fact, Jesus came to earth to save people like her and like you and like me. Some people say they are so sinful that God cannot forgive them, but that is a lie right out of hell from Satan. No matter what you have done, God can and will forgive you and redeem you from your sins if you will repent and ask him to be your Savior. Satan can't put anything in your life so deep, but that the blood of Jesus Christ can go deeper and cleanse you from sin. John 3:17 says, "For God sent his son, God sent not his son into the world to judge the world, but to save the world through him." The woman must have been shocked. How did he know so much about her? Everything he said was true, and yet she never felt he was looking down at her, condemning her, blaming her for anything, because he didn't condemn her, she listened to what he had to offer. She accepted his living water. Then she ran to town and told people to come and see a man that told her everything that she ever did. And she was asking, could this be the Messiah? Well, the people heard her testimony and came to meet Jesus. They invited Jesus to stay, and many in the town became believers. In the Christian church, we say we want to win souls to Jesus Christ, and yet, do we do what Jesus did here? Sometimes we think we're kind of aloof to other people. Some people, some churches claim to be inclusive, and yet they only welcome people that are like the members that are already in the pews. Everyone looks the same, talks the same, acts the same. What a great story to teach us how we should reach out to people lost in sin. One day a man went to visit a church. He arrived early, parked his car, and got out. Another car pulled up near him, and the driver told him, "I always park there. You took my place." The visitor went inside for Sunday school, found an empty seat, and sat down. A young lady from the church approached him and stated, "That's my seat. You took my place." The visitor was somewhat distressed by this rude welcome, but said nothing. After Sunday school, the visitor went into the church sanctuary and sat down, and another member walked up to him and said, "That's where I always sit. You took my place." The visitor was even more troubled by the treatment that he was receiving, but still said nothing. Later, as the congregation was praying for Christ to dwell among them, the visitor stood and his appearance began to change. Horrible scars became visible on his hands and on his sandaled feet, and someone from the congregation noticed him and called out, "What happened to you?" The visitor replied, "I took your place." Jesus met the woman at the well, and she was changed. She was changed so much, she took the message to the townspeople, and they were changed too. She reached her circle of influence. We need more circles to work with. Jesus brings change in everyone who will accept him. Jesus has the love of God and wants to help each one of us find the peace that only God can bring. It's not possible to stand before Christ and not be changed. You can deny him and walk away, or you can accept him and drink deeply from the living water he offers. Either way, you will be changed. You aren't perfect in either case, but you're simply changed, changed for the better. So will you drink of the living water Jesus offers, or will you walk away? Will you become part of the family of God and let God begin to minister to you and direct you and bring the peace that only Jesus Christ can bring? Then will you share that living water with others who need to have it? Jesus waits for your reply. We used to teach a little song to children in Vacation Bible School. I'm going to try. It says, "The woman came to fill her water pot down at the bottom of the well. But Jesus offered water that was not down at the bottom of the well. She went away happy that day, back to her home, never to roam, because she found the gift of water that was not down at the bottom of the well." Let me ask you, have you gone down to the bottom of the well? Or have you found the living water that Jesus Christ can give? Do you know him as your personal Savior? I'm so concerned about the churches today that are compromised or not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that have become exclusive or not reaching out and trying to touch lives for him. One day we will give an accounting. God will say, "Why should I let you into my holy heaven?" The only answer will be, "Because I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and I lived for him." And I hope if you haven't accepted him as your Savior, that this will be the day that you will repent. You'll call upon Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you'll allow him to change your life and make you the person he wants you to be. Father, I pray that you help each one of us, that we might discover that living water that will satisfy our spiritual needs, that'll quench our spiritual thirst, that'll draw us close to you, that will change our lives for the better, because now we will be adopted in the family of God. If there's someone that's listening that doesn't know you, I would ask Jesus today that you'll help them to find you as their personal Savior, that they would come, because you said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." And that you'll help them, Lord, to realize this Labor Day, it would be so much better if they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. I ask for their souls today. I ask for others that need a spatial touch. Maybe there's some that need a physical touch, or some that have been discouraged, some that have just not lived as close to you as they used to. Help us each one to find what you want in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I would invite you to come to church tomorrow at the First Baptist Church at First Avenue in Buffalo here in Holbrook. I do want to tell you that if you need any kind of help, counseling or anything, I'm in the church every Wednesday from 10 until 4, and I do counseling there. But you could call me on my telephone if you wanted to, 623-845-2741. Or maybe you could text me, and I would be glad to talk with you, pray with you, do whatever needs to be done. Just try to encourage you to know God as a personal friend. If you wanted to write to me, you could write to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. And if you wanted to send me a Gmail, sometimes I miss the Gmail because I get so many, but you could try, and I'll try to answer you there. God bless you. I hope you have a good Labor Day, and I hope that you have that peace that only Jesus Christ can bring to those who belong to him. God bless.